Welcome to Rock That Relationship, a podcast about all things relationship with Corey and Tracy.
Now let's get real and start creating relationships that rock.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Rock That Relationship. Today, we are talking all about wellness, right? Personal well-being and wellness, because part of self-love and self-growth and self-work is actually tending to your own well-being and your wellness. So we are going to explore 8 areas of wellness today, and we'll put a link to a wellness quiz in the show notes so you can follow along and take the quiz, find out how kind of balanced your wellness is in areas you might want to work on and things you're doing really well. So anyways, we'll talk through all of this and more today in our episode. So Tracy, how are you feeling about the idea of talking about wellness as a part of self-work and self-growth and self-love? Where do you see the connection?
I feel great about talking about it. I'm looking at the wellness wheel right now. Do you want me to read them off? Because, I mean, I think obviously if you're not, I mean, you need to have all of these things to feel good. I just did the quiz. So I am seeing lacking parts, which is odd because right before you and I started talking, I was writing down my manifesting goals again because I kind of stopped manifesting things. So I think it is important to have all aspects, right? I mean, we can be super happy in one arena and then have work to do in others. Or, I mean, it's always been financial for me. Like, you know, whether I really stick with something, stick with the job, make money, make an effort to make money. Like, I take care of everything else pretty much.
Okay, but, awesome. Do you want to just read them and then we'll go through each of them one by one? Just read them off by name so people can.
Okay, I'll read them off. Social, occupational, environmental, intellectual, spiritual, emotional, physical, and financial.
All right, awesome. So let's take a look at all of them. Let's start with emotional. We can define what emotional well-being or wellness looks like. It's, you know, this idea of engaging in things that feel secure, that you're feeling, you know, kind of like you can give love, other people give you love, you feel confident and good in who you are, you can draw boundaries, you can manage your anxiety and anxiousness. So let's take a look at this. We both took the quiz and, you know, we looked at some of these areas of wellness and in the emotional realm, you know, and let's see, where do you think you did well and where do you think you could improve on?
Well, I mean, there's like 5 questions and one is like that I put 5s for everything, meaning I was satisfied with everything. Like I feel good about who I am. I have a sense of control in my life and resilient and can bounce back after disappointments. I can ask for help when I need and I can say no when I don't want to do something and I don't feel guilty. But the one thing that I didn't put a 5 for was I can't always recognize when I'm feeling stressed or anxious and take steps to manage my stress. I'm trying to be better about that.
Okay.
After we talked about it on the podcast and I talked about it at home and said, look, these are the things that I'm doing or need to do. Take myself out of a situation, maybe even for a very brief moment, you know?
Right, right. There's a difference between preventing stress and managing stress when it comes up. So in your case, preventing it, like taking yourself out of a situation before something exacerbates, or, you know, managing it is saying, okay, I'm going to breathe, I'm going to go do exercise, I'm going to meditate or whatever. And so there's so many ways to manage that stress, but it's good that you're recognizing that's an area you want to work on.
Yeah, I have to, you know, I think living with 5 people, 4 people, 4 other people, you really have to more so than other times because I really don't have a lot of like, you know, physical space. So then I have to create mental space, right?
Right, right. Exactly. Well, I think for me with stress, it's like I have a really good balance on chronic stress. I don't have a lot of chronic stress mm-hmm. anymore. I've done a lot of things like integrated into my life, exercise, being outside, connecting with others, things that I know, even writing and reflecting that have the ability to kind of de-stress me on a longer term level, but it's the acute stress. I was at the grocery store today and I'm like, I'm in a hurry and I just needed to buy a couple things. And the creamer for my coffee was on sale. It was like $2.50 off if I had if I used my app. Well, the app wasn't loading right. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And so the lady's trying to help me with the app. And I'm like, can you just override it? She's like, you need to create a new account. And I'm like, but my old account has all my rewards in it. And I'm like getting stressed. I'm like, I'm in a rush. All I want to do is buy this. Why in the world do I need to go to a grocery store and use an app? I should just be able to buy things at a grocery store. So my acute stress was very high in that moment. It didn't fully get resolved. She was able to override it and give me the discount. I came home and now I don't know what I'm going to do about this app thing, but it was like an acute stress, but then I can go back to my set point, which is much lower. And so for me, the area I want to work on is more of my acute stress so that I don't take it out on somebody. I was trying to be mindful to remember that this lady worked at Safeway. She was trying the best she could to help me. And right. So that's the part where I'm like, okay, I have to remember that just because I feel that stress doesn't mean I have to exert it to other people.
Right. And you could just walk away or just pay the extra $250 and like not have that. Like, who cares? I mean, you have your thing about justice. You know, you're feeling about fairness.
I do.
I have it's driving you crazy to leave and know that you haven't gotten a discount that you could have gotten. But I would just be like, okay, forget it. Like, I would just forget it. But that's the thing. I mean, you have to decide in that moment, like, do you need to freak out? Do you?
Right. Like, in the grand scheme. Because there are some things that I walk away from that aren't just. And I just, like, sometimes it's the peace is more important to me for my emotional well-being than the justice. And I have to balance that a lot between peace and justice. And so sometimes I walk away and I'm mad at myself. Should I have walked away? And then I create a sense of stress, but I need to learn to let that go. And I have with some things, I just now walk away. I'm like, I don't want to even deal with this. It's not even worth being right. It's not, it's.
Well, and like some lady working at Safeway, she's not going to know how to deal with this app stuff. You know?
No, I mean, she was doing the best she could, but I felt bad for her, but I was like, but it was a bigger stress. It wasn't just like in the moment I was late, the app wasn't working. It was kind of like this larger thing too, that was looming. It was like, why do I have to bring my phone into the grocery store to shop? Right. And why do I have to scan things? Why can't I just go pick something up and put it in the cart and get a discount? You know, like what everybody else is getting. So it was kind of like principled. Right. So I was like, and then I had to remember like, this lady's just at work. It's just coffee creamer, and I need to get back here to do this podcast.
Yeah. See? Good. So you didn't freak out on her?
No, I didn't freak out on her. That's good. And I thanked her for her help. I got a little direct, I think. I was like, can you just override this? You know, so, but other than that, I was like, I didn't blame her or get mad, but I gave myself a 4 out of 5 because usually I'm pretty good. But there are these acute moments where it's like, oh, you know, I have to like learn to deal with. But overall, this area I did pretty well. I think the one area, another area that I think I can do better at is I'm getting better at saying no. But I still feel a little bit guilty. I had someone who asked if I could do a speaking event, a virtual speaking event at the last minute next week, just like a 15-minute little deal, not paid, but you know, somebody that I know, it's a friend, wants me to do like this intro to this big event they're doing, and it's in the Philippines, and I could get up and, you know, do this whole thing. But you know, it's at 10 o'clock at night. Yeah. I don't have any time to prepare for this. I am going out of town this weekend. She gave me just a few days notice. So I just emailed her today and was like, no, I have to learn to let it go. And
yeah. Like, why would you feel guilty at all?
I know. Well,
why should you feel guilty? Someone asked you to do something in a week.
Yeah. In like a few days, actually. It wasn't even a week. Yeah. And it was like, yeah. So I had to let go of that guilt too. I was like, you know, she also asked me with a few days notice. This event's probably been planned for a long time. Like if she would have let me know 3 or 4 weeks ahead of time, I might've been able to pre-record something. But anyways, so that's the area I want to, you know, work on a little bit better, is just making sure that I can let go and fully let go.
Right.
So
I'm really good at that.
Yeah.
Although I did sign up for that pickleball tournament that now I'm regretting signing up for. I did do that because he had asked me, this was the second time I was asked to do it, but you know, now that I'm having to prepare for it, that I just don't enjoy. I mean, I never was a sports person. I never got to play sports growing up. I played softball like in 3rd to 6th grade or something. And then we moved so much, I never was able to stay at one school and play sports. So I don't have that, you know, competitive, like, I don't know, attitude. And so it's just everybody being so intense about their tournaments coming up, and just really took the fun out of it all. So in the future, I won't do it.
In the future, you'll say no. And
yeah.
And you've learned. Okay, good. Well, I mean, yeah, maybe you thought it was me one thing and it's turned out to be something different. And now you know in the future that that's not something you want to do.
Well, I didn't even have a preconception about it. I just did it because I was like, okay, well, I've been asked twice. I couldn't do it a couple months ago and I should do it. And then now I'm like, ugh, I wish I didn't do it. But I have to follow through, you know?
Right. And thankfully, it's only in a few days. So you only have a few more days of this. But that's good to recognize and say, this is not for me.
Right. I like to do things for fun, not for competition. I feel like it takes the fun out of it.
Well, that's
even though I hike fast and whatnot, that's like against myself, you know, the time. I mean, we've had that issue in the past of being like thinking I was being competitive against you, but it really wasn't against you. It's like my own time, you know?
Yeah.
Like I can't, I've never done, I did one triathlon in my life that was in Seattle. I almost got drowned. And I was like, why would I ever do this again? Like, I don't like being around all these people. I do not like people swimming over the top of me. Why are they so intense? And like, you know, I never want to do it again. And you have to like get out of the water in your bathing suit and run.
Mm-hmm.
It was disgusting. And then they take a photo of you. Not flattering.
Oh,
it doesn't
gosh.
Matter what of shape you're in, unless you're like a professional triathlete. I don't know. It is interesting to me. People get really into that. So I guess that's something that I'm very aware. Like I hike and time myself for my satisfaction. I hike when it's not crowded. I hike when I want to be there, you know, and that's
right.
And I'm playing pickleball for fun, not, you know, to like, I have friends now traveling around the country playing. It's not something I want to do.
I mean, that's good self-awareness. That's part of your emotional well-being is knowing where your boundaries are and what you like and then doing those things. Well, let's move on to the next one. The next one's spiritual wellness. This is around like understanding and embracing and being able to practice your beliefs and values. You know, maybe things like, you know, reading, meditating, could be anybody doing any kind of practice to, you know, engage in their spiritual stuff. It could be walking a labyrinth. It could be praying. It could be whatever it is that you see as your kind of spiritual outlet. Let's take a look at this, Tracy. What did you kind of, where did you score?
I scored a top five because, you know, these are their questions, a sense of meaning and purpose in my life. I have that for sure. I take time for reflective growth, prayer, and meditation. I do it in my own way in the hiking or whatever, not in a way that would be like sitting and meditating. And I don't think you have to do that. Like, you know, I mean, I would never be a fan of organized religion. I would never be in a religion. I'd never be in anything that told me when I had to do something. I really cannot stand that, you know? Like, I can just be doing that right now while I'm looking at the sky or, you know, on a dog walk. So, and this is about clear sense of right and wrong and act accordingly. I mean, I always act within, you know, my values. And the other two were participating in acts of goodwill without expecting anything in return and practicing forgiveness and compassion in life. I feel like I do that, you know?
Yeah.
And like for me, going to the elephant sanctuary, that's everything comes together there. Sorry.
Wow. Okay. This is good. I mean, it's good to know that this feels really fulfilling for you and you feel really well and, you know, balanced in this area.
I do. Don't you?
I had 2 fives and I had 3 fours. So like,
I mean, don't you feel like you have a sense of meaning and purpose in your life?
Oh, absolutely. That one, I gave myself a 5. If I could give myself a 6, I would. I'm so clear about what my calling is that that's something I really resonate with. The taking time for reflective growth, prayer, and or meditation. I'm not a prayer and I'm not a meditator.
But you don't need to be.
No. But I'm not evaluating myself on that. But I've noticed that I've had a lot of commitments, particularly work commitments and things that are spread out in such weird scheduled ways over these last few weeks. And I've been doing a lot of traveling that I haven't built in time for walking up Tumamoc as much as I would like. And I haven't built in enough time for taking my daily walks and some of the things. And I haven't really spent a lot of time doing some writing. I've been doing a lot of editing and promoting in my other book, but I'm really missing it. So I went in yesterday and I started carving out time in my schedule and said, walk, Tumamoc, writing time. Like all this stuff is now in my schedule because I just don't want to plan over it. So typically I value the time for that because writing, hiking, and walking, and even connecting with others is my my reflective time. And I just haven't had enough of that because, like I said, every kind of work duty or meeting I've had has been like 30 minutes apart. And it's not enough time to stick anything in the middle of that to do anything of substantive value for my reflection. So I went in and I put in more today for next week. But yeah, I need to be better at that. I need to prioritize that and put that in my schedule first and then plan everything else around those things.
Well, that's hard. I mean, it's interesting because you have a flexible job in a lot of ways, right? And so you do have flexibility that a lot of people don't have in that Monday to Friday. Like I'm trying to figure out with my wife, like, you know, she says she like now she's feeling great. So she wants to get up early. And then I'm like, oh, I don't want to wake her up too early. Right. So I usually like to get up at 4:30. And she says she wants to get up early and do stuff. And it's like, but then she's at work all day. And it is really hard because I don't know. How do you do that? It's very hard to, if you're a regular office person or whatever, to balance that. I think, yeah. You know, especially in the winter, because people go to work and it's dark and then they get home and it's dark. And I mean, we live in Arizona, Southern Arizona, we get sunlight, but I was just remembering Seattle. Uh-huh. It's dark at 3 p.m.
I know. I remember living in Washington. It was like 3:30 and it was pitch black out. But, you know, there's things, too, that, you know, not everybody finds that reflection time as being outside. Some people might find it as going to the gym, or they might find it as going to their book club during the week or wherever they find that space. And so I think whatever it is, it's important to just work it within the schedule that you have. I know also, like, when my daughter was here, she's been gone for the, you know, so far in Germany, but I was driving her to school and to and from every day. It was like 2 hours in the car, and then I'd be working and I'd be in meetings and I'd be grading. And it was just my schedule, even though it's flexible, it's also haphazard. So sometimes it's hard to find consistency. And so, you know, the idea is we've talked about this over and over in the episodes is time blocking, but time blocking we've been talking about in the context of tasks. Whereas in this place, in this space, time blocking in a context of reflective growth, like what are those things that bring you to a place of reflection? Are you making time for those too?
Yeah. I mean, I think some people do really need to set aside concrete time. I don't feel like I need to, but I do need to keep those things in mind as I go throughout my day and my life, you know?
Well, it's funny. Just the other day I was saying, I haven't had enough time to write lately and I'm feeling it. I really like some time to write. I did some writing in my writing group last night. It was really therapeutic. I want more of it. And so my body almost craves it. So I don't leave it kind of up to the organic, you know, scheduling process of when I can fit it in. It's like, I need to make time for it or else the time just goes away. And then I don't do it. So, so however that works for people, but just whatever that reflection is.
Do you feel like writing is some kind of spiritual thing for you?
Absolutely. It transports me into a space, especially the memoir writing, right? Because it's my life, you know, it's reflecting on my own experiences. It just transports me, helps me with meaning making. I love it. And even the nonfiction writing, I've been writing some fun, like blogs and some cool stuff. And it's like, that's just fun. I just kind of transport myself into a space that just feels like I'm being coddled by a warm blanket of just comfort. Like I'm in my happy place. And that to me is very spiritually transformative for me.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because we were doing a lot of, you know, tarot cards and all that before, like seeing these Akashic people and all that. And it is, I'm not doing any of that or the psychic, you know, it's.
Yeah. And I'm still doing some of that, you know.
Yeah. I feel like I got all my answers.
Yeah, I feel like every answer gives me more questions and every day that I live life gives me more questions. So I'm not seeking.
I feel like I'm done here.
Well, that's good.
On this earth.
Yeah. Well, then you're going to be trapped in that body for the rest of your existence here until you can go to your spiritual plane.
I mean, that's fine. Like, I'm glad to be in this incarnation, but unless I come back in some kind of elephant sanctuary, I don't want to come back here.
Yeah.
I feel like this world is a constant struggle. Like, I'm enjoying my life, but I feel like it's just like, why can't people in this world just be nice?
I know. That's part of our journey.
But it's like my life. And then I feel guilty for having a good life, right? Because so many people aren't. And why is it so unfair? You know?
Yeah.
It makes me feel sick, like very guilty. That's the thing I feel that's really the only thing I feel guilty about. It's like, why should I have a good life? And so many people are being, you know, really persecuted by others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And that's why, like, on that one question was, or the prompt that said, I participate in acts of goodwill without expecting anything in return. When I could say, I would give myself a 5 if it says, if it said, when I participate in acts of goodwill, I don't expect anything in return, because I don't. I don't know if I make enough time to do acts of goodwill. I mean, I know that, like, you and I, we do this podcast for free. We don't get anything. And I'm hoping that it's changing lives. Like, that's an act of goodwill.
Right.
Like, I'm doing a lot, but I feel like sometimes maybe I need to be doing more. Because of, it's like, hard. What you're talking about. Like, you're like, I've been dealt such a good hand of cards, and I feel this sense of needing to give back. And I've spent most of my life being a social justice advocate and doing a lot of things, but
I mean, you do the cats. You were doing the cats before. Right now you're pet free, but, like, you know, you were going to the cat place and you were going having
fostering.
The kids at your house and all that. And I do think there's different times in your life where, I mean, right now you're very focused on your memoir and the things that you've been doing to get that up. And then, you know, your, like, personal life stuff to get that in order. So I don't feel like you need to. I mean, I feel like you do a lot, but you're kind of have a different focus right now.
Yeah. And I guess the perception of acts of goodwill is, you know, subjective, right? Some people might see it as, like, a trash cleanup, and some people might see it as, you know, mentoring someone. Like, you know, if you have a friend that's going through a really difficult time and you spend a lot of time helping them, that's an act of goodwill. You're not expecting anything right back from them. So I guess we have to broaden that definition of what are we doing to just show up in ways that are helpful to others. I think if it's more like that, then I feel like I do a lot.
Right.
But I mean, I always feel like maybe I could be doing more or better.
Yeah. I mean, I used to do so much when I first moved to Seattle, you know, back in the 90s. I don't know. I also feel like, it's like time is different now. I don't know if it's my age or something else, but I mean,
right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Right.
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, you can only do so much, right?
I know. I suppose. Yes. Well, let's move on to the next one, because we got several of these. I want to talk about this one. I think this one's an interesting element of wellness. It's environmental wellness. It's the idea that we, like, pay attention to the aesthetics around us, whether that's in our own homes or whether that's geographically where we're living or where we're traveling to. So how did you score in this section?
Well, I was going to score myself all 5s because I do a lot outside. I'm a recycler. I'm a vegan. I feel like I care about the world and its inhabitants. But then it said, I maintain a clear and organized home free of clutter. And that I do not. But I was trying, even before this podcast, I'm trying to get clutter free. But yes, I do. I'm a pile person. So I've got to get rid of those. And it's not like, oh, you can't walk in my house, but it's like, everything needs to be filed and put away, and the books put away and all that, and then it'll be better. So I'm trying to get to a 5, but I gave myself a 3 on that.
Okay. I think that's good. I think that's fair. I've been to your house, and
yeah.
Yes. Cause you live like you have a minimalist philosophy, but I don't know that your aesthetics reflect that as much.
Well, it's just the piles. And then it's like, how, you know, it's like every day more stuff arrives, and then it's like, you know, having to get rid of stuff. And I don't do that well enough. I need to do that every day, be done. You know,
right,
I need
right,
a
right.
new condo to come to my house and just, but it's not like I'm a hoarder, because I don't own anything. But when people do try and, oh, do you really need this? I'm like, yes, my God. And then just, you know, I got a new desk and chair so I could have matching desks and chairs. And then, you know, everything that's in those boxes. And then I'm like, oh my God, we could save this. Not in a hoarder way, but, like, you know, I'm like, I'm trying to recycle each piece that can be recycled. And then, well, this, you know, would be good for, you know, save this piece of, like, I hate throwing out styrofoam and stuff like that, you know?
Right, right.
It's reusable stuff in all of our trash. So disturbing. IKEA does the best. All their packaging just comes in cardboard. There's no styrofoam or plastic in it. Have you ever noticed that?
I haven't noticed that. But you know they recycle styrofoam now.
I know, but not in our place. They barely recycle anything. Tucson barely recycles anything.
I drive my styrofoam, my plastic bags, and my glass down to the recycling center. I was just there yesterday. But I agree with you. It's too much packaging and it's too much stuff. But have you ever heard of that thing that's that kind of piece of advice that says if you haven't used it or worn it in a year, you probably won't.
Get rid of it. I can say that about my suits. I know. I mean, everybody knows I wear pretty much the same outfit. I do have like five different. I may have like 17 of the same shorts and then five different shirts that are the same. But like, I do have to have some stuff, you know, but honestly, most of my stuff is like, I just have to organize it and be done. I was doing that before we got on the podcast, but like you have a much better way. You're much better at that.
Yeah. I'm very neat and tidy. I went through, a couple drawers today to try to figure out like kind of winter versus summer clothes as I switch over, and I was organizing. I'm going to donate a bunch of stuff and trying to figure that out. So I was going through that, which was nice. But yeah, that one I score 5. I'm off the charts on that one.
You're organized.
Yeah, I think the only one that I scored myself a 4 on was I promote green living when possible. I do. I mean, I drove to the recycling center yesterday. I drop things off. I'm trying to be mindful about things, but I also know that I try to live relatively comfortably. So if I'm cold, I'll turn the heat up.
I think you can give yourself a 5 on that.
Yeah. But I was thinking
of veganism. Everyone should be vegan. Then they can be at 5 or 6.
Well, and I mean, I'm not vegan, but I'm vegetarian. So it's a step towards the right direction. But the other thing I was thinking of is, I don't know how it came up on my walk today, but I've had 2 exes now that have bought composters for our house. And then like they've been in the yard and now I'm sort of compelled to go and put my banana peels and stuff in there and use them. And then they want to like crank them and do all this stuff. And then they make soil for God knows what, because neither of them ever used any of the soil that came from it. I don't even know if it made soil. I don't even know if they cranked them, but I was like, I don't want this behemoth composter here that nobody is doing anything with. And now am I in charge of cranking it? And I was like, I love the idea of composting. When I lived in California, we had a composting bin and we would compost. Right. But the idea of having a composter in my space like triggered me. And so
Did you get rid of it? Did you put it on?
I told the person that I'm in a relationship now. I was like, just so you know, we will never have a composter. Like, we just won't. Like, we cannot. I am too scarred by the composter.
Wait, but listen, I have a solution for you because I got it for my kitchen. There's many different brands, but I got something called Wauken or something, Wauken. It literally grinds it up in your kitchen.
Where does it grind it up? In like a little machine?
Yeah, it's like a little machine. It's like probably the size of a crock pot, like a normal size crock pot. That's it. Or like a air fryer. And then it's right next to the dog stuff. We put all of our scraps in it and it grinds it up right in the kitchen in like 3 hours and turns it into compost. I just throw on top of my trees outside on the roots of my trees. Yeah. And then it doesn't stink and so the banana peels, all that turns into like a dark, almost like kind of soily ground up thing.
Right, yeah. Like it looks like coffee grounds, the ones that we have.
Yeah, you just put it out. But that's the thing. It does it right in your kitchen, no mess whatsoever. I'll send you the thing.
Send me the link. I will put that in the show notes. I cannot guarantee that that will ever be a purchase that I will make, but I will put it in the show notes.
I'm telling you, if you come over and see it, it'll revolutionize your kitchen because then you will never feel bad and you'll never have fruit flies because you won't be putting, if you're not going to take it out in compost, you won't have it in the kitchen.
Okay. All right. I'll come take a look at
that. Like in your kitchen garbage, you know, because if you don't take here in Southern Arizona, especially, I've noticed if you have a banana peel in your garbage for one day, it's disgusting, like disgusting. Yeah. And so like I'll show you. It's really good.
Okay. I will be open to it, but I cannot get one of those monster composting machines.
No, it's literally
in my backyard.
No, it would be right next to your sink. It's so easy. I'm going to show you.
Okay. All right. I will put a link in the show notes for it. And then in the meantime,
you can get to a 5 and you can be environmentally completely friendly.
Maybe I can. All right. Let's move to the next one, because now that we know that I'm a horrible composter, and I'm not an anti-composter. I'm anti-huge right. composting machines that sit in my backyard.
That's disgusting.
The ex-partners don't crank. Okay. Yeah. Anyways, moving on to financial wellness. This one is about budgeting, living within your means, having financial goals, preparing for the future, managing your credit, having a spending plan. How do you rank on these, Tracy?
Oh, I sucked on these. That's the thing. And it's not, I mean, I've done terrible. I'm terrible. And this is my worst category. The only one that I scored 5 on was I used money wisely and live within my means. But the other ones, like financial plans that are in line with my personal goals, I've just like screwed everything up since I was, if I had not taken out money in my 20s and 30s, then I'd have tons of money now, but I didn't. And then balance saving for the future and spending in the present. No. I never save for the future. And then I have a spending plan, budget, pay bills on time. I mean, I always do that, but I don't do a budget. I just manage to have enough money to pay my stuff. And then my behavior reflects my beliefs and values about my no. And I did shadow work about that, and I still have not resolved it. Like money, I have real money issues, because growing up, we did not have money. We'd like have money and then no money. My parents had inconsistent employment, which is strangely how I've turned out. So no, I want the next 50 years of my life to be different. And then I was thinking, oh, I could retire at 85 and live to 105, and then I'll have 20 years of retirement.
I mean, that's a plan.
That's my plan now.
Okay.
So another 35 years to work. So I'm starting over.
Okay. But this is really good. You recognize this area of wellness, and you need to tend to it in many ways. So
this is the worst. This is the worst thing in my life. Like, I just have not done it. I don't know why. Trauma, money trauma.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shadow work.
Definitely shadow work.
Yeah.
This is my, probably one of my strongest categories, as you know. As
yes.
You can imagine. I'm really good with money. I can make, you know, money, draw money
from out of nowhere. Yeah.
I make a lot of opportunities for myself. I say yes to a lot of things, even unpaid things, although I couldn't with the Philippines thing next week because it was just too stressful. But normally I say yes to lots of unpaid things. They lead to paid things. I've just had a lot of opportunities, but I've also made a lot of opportunities. I've been very good with my money. And it was interesting. The house I'm living in right now, part of it was purchased with money that I saved from all my birthdays and holidays growing up. I used to stick all the like $5 bills I'd get in like birthday cards in a jar. And I had thousands and thousands of dollars, and it went towards basically buying this house when I was in my late 30s.
So, which you bought when it was in foreclosure, right? And it was all, the roof was caving in.
Yeah. Everything was, I mean, it was unlivable. It was uninhabitable. And, yeah, but you had to pay cash for it, and it wasn't too expensive. But at the same time, like a big chunk of that, a lot of the money that I had from a kid that I didn't spend, I used. So people laugh at me about those kind of things and how I'm so frugal, and I fight over that $250 for the saving on that creamer today. It's because that's how I am financially sound, is that I look for those kinds of things. I got some things on Cyber Monday, and I, you know, was just mindful about getting deals here and there. And so I'm really good. I'm really good with my money. And of course I pay my bills on time. My credit's very good, all of those, but.
Well, and you told me something one day I thought was so interesting, is that you said you treat like, it's like fun to make money. Like you treat it like a fun thing. Like you're not worried about it. You're, it's a game for you.
Yeah. I mean, it's like when you start to worry about money, and I know many people have to because they don't have the money, but when you're worried about the money, I think from a manifesting perspective, it makes it harder for it to come in. Mm-hmm. If there are ways to find things that you enjoy, it's strange how sometimes the money just follows, like opportunities just follow. And I've seen that happen with so many people where they've done something as a hobby, and then next thing you know, they're able to leverage that into money-making endeavor. And not that everybody wants to do that, but if that's of interest to you, part of the making money is having fun doing it, right? And so, I know I've been really fortunate to be in jobs that I really like, but that's also part of the mentality, is sometimes I've left jobs and been like, yikes, okay, you know, but I can't do that. And that's really hard. You have to take a risk. And I know at different times in my life, I've been able to take those risks, but those have been when I was younger, when I didn't have a child or I didn't have a mortgage payment or whatever the case may be. So I get it. It's not that feasible for people, but I do think that money mentality is really important. The way you manifest money is you have to enjoy the process of it coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're stressed about it, that stress is going to sort of be emanated to the universe and all those things around you. And I don't know that it's going to come as easily.
Right.
So
I'm writing that down.
Are you, you put together some manifests you've been working on. Are any of them related to money?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just started, so I was just making my list. So I need to actually go over it, you know, for each thing that I put on there and do the feelings and how I'm going to feel mm-hmm. and all that kind of thing that you do. But yeah, money for 2026, you know?
Right. Like that you, and that money is coming in and you're enjoying what you're doing to make it. I mean, that's really right. The manifest, right? It's like,
right.
You know, because it, you know, a lot of times people will be like, I'm going to manifest a $10,000 check. I'm like, well, it doesn't really work like that. That's not right. How you get money. But you just say, I'm going to enjoy myself and opportunities are going to arise that are going to allow me to make money in ways that bring me joy.
Mm-hmm.
And
say that again.
You know, I'm going to engage in opportunities, you know, that I can make money that, you know, bring me joy. I'm going to be doing things that I enjoy that will bring in money.
Right.
So maybe it's a job or maybe it's a, you know, you've done some stand-up stuff where they paid you, or maybe you do something on the side or whatever.
Right.
You just find
a way.
Yeah.
I'm on it.
Good. All right. Well, let's move to the next one. Intellectual wellness. Intellectual wellness is this idea of sort of being like curious and stimulated by, you know, kind of big ideas, new perspectives. You like learning things. You're open to new ideas. You're a critical thinker. How did you rate yourself in this area?
Oh, I gave myself all fives. Yep. I mean, yes, I gave myself all fives. I love learning new things. I like hearing all kinds of perspectives. I am a critical thinker. I do like to have mentally stimulating activities and hobbies. And there have been points in my life where I'm like, oh, I'm not doing enough or this, you know, if I'm hiking, then I better be listening to podcasts or books or something. So, I mean, I feel like I do great in this arena. Don't you? About yourself?
Yeah. I mean, I would agree. Like I, you know, out today doing my walk, but also listening to a podcast about, it was a really interesting podcast about adult friendships and kind of learning from this researcher about some cool research she'd done. I love that kind of stuff. So I'm always interested in learning. I found though, the two areas, I scored myself a five in all of them, but the two areas I scored a four actually have something in common. One was I exposed myself to new ideas, people and beliefs that are different from my own. And I challenged myself to see all sides of an issue. I am definitely, I wouldn't consider myself like generally a closed-minded person, but I will tell you that in the last 10 years or 8 years or whatever we've been in, politically, I've struggled with listening to perspectives that are so outlandish that and hurtful that I can't expose myself to those because they are actually painful to expose myself to, or challenging myself to see all sides of an issue when I know there are sides of an issue that are either factually inaccurate or just harmful. And, but I think that part of my discernment and being able to do that is my intellectual wellness, is being able to draw boundaries between things that I think are helpful intellectually and not helpful intellectually. But generally, I do like to see all sides of an issue, but our political climate has made it really difficult sometimes to do that to the extent that I used to.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, things are so extreme and polarized. There's no joy in it whatsoever.
Yeah. And that's hard because I want to have these like civil discourse conversations, but I just think in some ways that to me,
do
like
people even have them anymore?
I don't know. I don't think so. And that affects my emotional well-being. So, you know, while I might be listening to somebody else's perspective, it might be so hurtful to who I am that it then compromises another area of my wellness wheel. So it's like, you have to make those calls sometimes.
Yeah. I do think that, you know, it's unfortunate. I think, but I was just reading something the other day that said, you know, Twitter, formerly Twitter, whatever it's called, X now, like so many of those politically divisive posters aren't even in the U.S. So, you know, there's so many forces happening in the world that are making things unpleasant. And it's like, how do we get back to actually sitting down with people?
Yeah.
And is that even possible anymore? I mean, we had somebody on the podcast years ago, that majority in the middle. And it's like, mm-hmm. well, where are those people? How do we find them?
Right, right. Well, it was interesting too, because the I was looking at a story today on Facebook that was like, put in here how Thanksgiving went with anybody who experienced a political divide, how'd it go over Thanksgiving? And a lot of people were saying, like, we have a rule, no politics at the table. Some people said, I just don't go if I don't, you know, I know we're not going to be able to agree. A lot of people just said that they just didn't talk about stuff. And so I also think that's interesting because, yes, well, that could preserve the peace and that could preserve the emotional well-being of everyone. And frankly, that's the route I would choose. It also means that we're not having important conversations where we see each other's perspectives.
Right.
So now we're not just doing that with politics, but we're doing that with everything. It's like, don't talk about anything because it might be sensitive to someone and they might disagree, or we might cause a ruckus, or we might get into it over Thanksgiving. So now I think we're just not talking about important things with people for fear that we may have such a divide,
right?
Even beyond politics.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. It's very sad.
Yeah. Well, I do know some of the other aspects of this particular element of wellness is, you know, around this idea of mentally stimulating activities and hobbies. So you and I talked about podcasts. You know, I know we both read books. We have intellectually stimulating conversations. Are there other things that you do to kind of create mental stimulation?
Well, I mean, I watch a lot of television, you know.
Yeah, like documentary stuff and like.
Yeah, real life stuff. I became, I couldn't even go to pickleball last night because I got so sucked into frogging. Do you know what that is?
And you posted
frogging. It's spelled P-H-R-O-G-G-I-N. It's when somebody is living in your house and you didn't know it. It's a real thing.
What? How do people live in your house and you don't even know that they're there?
You have to watch it. It's on Hulu. Frogging, P-H-R-O-G-G-I-N-G. And I posted on Facebook and I'm like, oh my God, this is such a thing that it has its own term and its own show now. Like, it is crazy. There's somebody living in someone's house. They were living, this family, idyllically living in Hawaii, beautiful home, beautiful neighborhood, just like your regular average kind of home. And it was a husband and wife, and they had two kids that were his kids from his previous marriage. And they were just living the life. And then they're like, she's like, how come our door's unlocked? What is that noise? What's this? And he's like, I locked the door. And she's like, no, you didn't. And this went on and on and on for weeks, and weird stuff was happening and things were disappearing. And then they'd like see a shadow or something. And then it turned out a man was living in their attic and was plotting to do all kinds of horrible things. And when they weren't in their room or whatever, he was come down into the room when they weren't home. And they happened to come home early from their vacation. And he was in the house plotting to do terrible things to them. And he'd been living in their home alongside them for months. This is all real. It's not a joke.
Oh my gosh. This is how you become mentally stimulated. You watch all these like obscure.
Yeah. There was one lady who lived in an apartment where it had a thing to the ceiling, you know, that would, that attic like access. And she's like, what's happening? She told her brother, stop coming in my house and taking my soda and this. And he's like, I'm not. And she's like, why are you eating my soup? And then she's in the bathtub one night and she can see in her bedroom that the attic thing is open now. And the guy had come down into her apartment. And it's crazy. You have to watch it.
This is crazy. All right. I'm going to put a link in the show notes to this because I think people are going to want to.
You have to watch it. We'll talk about it later. But
okay,
I watch all kinds of like real life stuff. I find it interesting because it's like there's no end to what is happening around us.
Well, that is for
sure. And I want to know about it.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you could find that mentally stimulating. Cool. Well, let's move on to the next one because we've got a few more to go before we wrap up. This one's one of my favorites, physical wellness. This is basically sleep, diet, nutrition, exercise, fitness, health checkups. You know,
I get all fives. I gave myself all fives.
I gave myself a four in one of them, and fives in the four.
Hydrated,
because everybody knows that I do not stay hydrated enough. But I do eat a well balanced and nutritional diet. I have my blue plate lunch every single day with my carrots and my hummus and my banana and my nuts and all that stuff. But hydration, I'm terrible at it.
Yeah, you don't like water and you only drink that crap that's got fake chemicals in it.
I know, I do. That's like my one vice. Well, that and jelly beans. I'll eat jelly beans while I'm hiking. But Other than that, I eat a pretty good diet and I go to my checkups and I get good sleep and I'm physically active and I don't drink and I don't smoke. I don't do drugs and I don't consume caffeine and I don't do all those things. So,
well, I broke my arm a couple months ago and that was very difficult for me. You know, like it is true. And actually people are saying to my wife, oh, she's not going to be able to play pickleball, you know?
Right.
And that didn't really, it started to get worse probably after a month and a half. And that's when I just started going back and it didn't matter the pain. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Is it feeling any better or are you just pushing through the pain?
No, it's feeling better, but I couldn't stand it anymore to not be able to do it, you know?
Right, right. Well, it's interesting. Yeah. I have to get this eye surgery in April. And part of it is that when I come home, I have, well, first of all, I have a patch on my eye. So I'm going to play pirate for a day, which will be fun. But 24 hours, I have to lay flat on my back and I can't do anything because they do something with like this air bubble. And if you move right. too much, it'll release the air bubble. So I have to lay flat on my back. And then for a week, I can't walk around. Like I can go to the bathroom, but I can't go on a walk.
Right.
And I'm sitting here trying to figure out if I can get like some kind of cycle pedals that are up in the air. I can lay in my bed and pedal. What can I do? Because the fear of not having some kind of physical activity for a week is just beyond my familiarity. Like it will throw me off.
Yeah.
But I also know I want to see out of my right eye very, you know, better. Right. So yeah.
You're going to have to figure something out ahead of time because you're not going to be able to. I mean, you're going to have to chill, but it's very difficult. I'm not good at that.
I know. I'm terrible at recovery. I'm just terrible at it. And I need it. That's one area probably for my physical wellness I need to be better at is when something is hurting or I've injured something or I'm sick is to let myself heal. And I tend to push through sooner than I should. And that's right. something I need to be better at.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's, I mean, there's just sometimes there's nothing you can do if it's a physical illness or ailment, you know?
Yeah, you just have to kind of do it. I mean, I was recording my audiobook and remember I had that horrible cough and chest cold. Right. And I was like, I'm just going to record it. I'm going to power through. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm not going to ruin my book by having a raspy right. voice the first week. And so I had to push the whole thing back a week. And I was like, I just want to do it. But
I know, but that was good because I will turn off the audiobook right away if someone has a cold. And I have a cold right now, so that's very hypocritical of me to say, but it's true.
Yeah.
True.
Well, we're only recording like an hour of this, so.
Right.
Okay, let's move on to occupational wellness. How did you do in this area? This is this idea. Well, first of all, before you say that, this is this idea about, you know, understanding your calling, enjoying your work, finding ways to professionally develop and advance your career and have a good work-life balance. Develop your talents and skills. How do you feel like you did in this area?
Well, let's see. I can't remember. I'm trying to find it. Something's blocking my view of it. Here's my cold. Terrible. Oh, I got all threes. Like, it's not good.
All threes.
Yeah. I really don't do much about that. Yeah. That's terrible. It goes along with my financial stuff.
What is the biggest kind of issue for you? Do you think like the underpinning of it all? There's five things on here. Is it that you can't find your calling or is it that you're just like,
I'm in an industry I don't love.
Okay.
That's the biggest problem. And I'm kind of trapped now.
Can you change industries?
Yeah. I mean, we always are talking about that, but you know, it's true. I got used to a certain salary and you know, hourly. So it's harder to do that. And then I got used to working from home. So mostly it's just, I mean, I'm going to try with this new thing and this business and I did see a job that I would like. So I'm going to try to stay within the whole legal world, but that's never been my favorite place to be. And when I went to law school, I really did not intend to work as an attorney or continue that life. So there is a lot I can do with it that I will enjoy. And I just have to keep focus, and keep saying, not panic. We talk about this all the time, you know, not taking a job I don't want just to panic, you know, I mean, just right. because I'm panicking.
Right. And then you kick what you would really like to do down the road, you know?
Right.
I mean, the legal stuff, I know you don't love it, but you're also really good at the relationship, the relationship mediation, the coaching. You're really good at that stuff. And couching it within the legal credentials and your legitimacy that you have in that space gives you an edge, right? Like to be very helpful. And so leaning on the skills that you get to use and finding that to be your calling and your passion, you love that. You love helping people through those kinds of things. And so, you know, you just happen to be doing it in the legal world, right? Like I'm teaching leadership. I just happen to be doing it at a college, but I could be doing it in some corporation or for some nonprofit. So think, instead of thinking about your work being in the legal world, think about your work as being helping people with their relationships. You just happen to be situated in the legal world. So flip it around, right? I do leadership. I just happen to be working in a college. It's not that I work in a college and I happen to be doing leadership. So flip it around. You work with people. You help them build relationships. You help them understand if the relationship isn't working and they need to get divorced, how to do that amicably and fairly and justly. You help people talk through those life, you know, life transitions. You just happen to also be a lawyer that has some familiarity with family law. So use that as your context, not as your calling.
So interesting. That's very helpful.
Yeah. Then maybe that mental shift will really help, right? Because then you know, once you feel connected to that calling, then things start to manifest.
Well, and that is interesting because I do feel connected to that calling of helping people and everything, you know?
Yep. Well, lean on that. That's what you're doing. That's your job. You're just doing it in a context of the legal world. You could be doing that in a therapy office. You could be doing that as a teacher. You could be doing that in various places. You just happen to have your credentials and your background in the legal world. So that's where you're doing it. Just like me, I happen to have my experiences in a context of higher education, but I could do them anywhere.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, sometimes it's you have to flip the script like that.
Well, I'm going to have more coaching on that. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, in this one, obviously, you know, I kind of scored. I scored all fives but one.
All fives.
I had one that was just one word that I've been having a little bit of a boundary with is the one that says that I can use my knowledge, skills, and talents to contribute and collaborate with others. I can. I'm just getting to a point where I'm collaborating less and less, and I'm only collaborating with some people that I really trust and that I've collaborated with in the past. And that's a real mindful decision because collaboration takes a lot of effort and trust. And I haven't felt like that's been something that's been in my favor with a lot of collaboration partners. So I don't necessarily believe that it's occupational wellness to collaborate. I think it's occupational wellness to understand if you want to collaborate, when you want to work by yourself and the things that bring you joy. And for me, collaborating doesn't really bring me a lot of joy most of the time. Like I said, with the exception of five or six people that I collaborate with on a regular basis.
Well, you do collaborate. You hear a flip your script. Is it by you're sharing your knowledge? So that's collaborating with others. Like you don't need to do projects with other people to consider that collaborating.
I mean, I mean, we can switch the definition. I mean, the idea of projects or initiatives or something with other people, I'm kind of like that ship feels like it's sailed. Not that I don't.
And your wellness is actually improved because you're not doing things that you don't want to anymore in that arena. So I don't know if you should give yourself a four. I think you should give yourself a five.
Well, I mean, I think for the clarity process, you're right. It probably is a five. And you and I have talked about it a lot where I've had collaborations that have gone south. People have dropped the ball or they've done poor work or they've cut corners and it reflects poorly on me. And I'm like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to drag someone through a collaboration. They're supposed to be value added. And so.
And you're not enjoying it.
No. And it's not fun and it's not producing what I want. So. Yeah. So I'm going to do less collaboration. And again, only collaborate really with the people that I know and trust and have a background with. And that's part of my own wellness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And your wellness. I mean, that's the thing I do think you do really well. Except we keep cutting into your lunchtime. So we better wrap this up.
I know. We've got one more to talk about, which is like one of my favorites besides physical wellness. It's social wellness.
Yeah, you're really good at that.
Social wellness, creating connections with others, dealing with conflict, finding social activities that you enjoy, treating others with respect. All right. Well, how did you rank in these?
Well, I ranked myself a five and everything. I feel like I'm doing really well. Maybe I have lower standards than you do, but I feel like I do really well in most things except for work and finances.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. I feel like I do really well in this one too. The only one I put myself a four at is I can resolve conflicts in all areas of my life. I usually can resolve conflicts pretty easily, but sometimes there's just conflicts that can't be resolved. And so it takes a much more of an emotional burden for me to resolve them. And I'd rather just let them go. So instead of resolving them, I part of my emotional well-being is saying it's not worth resolving. So I guess when it says all areas of my life, like basically every conflict, I think it's this idea that if the conflicts that I want to resolve, I usually can resolve them very easily. Yeah,
and I don't think that this means that you have a conflict-free life or that you have to avoid conflict or anything. I mean, sometimes that it just is, you know?
Right.
There just is conflict in life.
Right. And then you have to figure out, is it worth working through the conflict or is it worth just walking away? Like, I mean, sometimes there's situations where there is so much conflict. I've met people that like absolutely hate their jobs or really struggle with their bosses. And I'm like, well, look for another job. And then they don't look for another job and they live in this constant state of conflict. And it's like, okay, well, you know, do something, either say something or get another job or do something about it. And it's hard.
Right.
You know, and some conflicts, like I was saying, I was listening to this episode with Mel Robbins this morning, and it was with this friendship expert, and I really liked it. But they talked about conflict and friendship, right? And this idea that sometimes friendships, you know, you want to resolve that conflict. It's something both parties are interested in. You've realized that there's no one has done anything really egregious to the other person. It's just that something is conflicting. But other times, and this is particularly hard for women, as a matter of fact, when I was listening to this episode, they were pointing it out, it's particularly hard for women to walk away from friendships with conflict, that have too much conflict, right? Like the situation has become toxic because women hold on tighter to those because they have had oftentimes a deeper sense of connection with the person. And it's a much, much bigger loss, where they were talking about men in general can just be like, oh yeah, I don't know what happened to Dave. We used to play basketball, but you know, and so it is interesting about how it's conflict is really hard to deal with, particularly in female friendships. So that just kind of put that at top of mind for me today.
Right. Well, that is interesting. I mean, I feel like I'm trying to think of, I mean, I've obviously had a lot of conflict. I'm more conflict averse than I used to be. Like when I was much younger, like in my 20s and 30s, I loved like writing people off.
Really?
Now I don't really so much. But I also, no, I don't even know if I'm more judicious, maybe a little bit more.
I mean, you walk away though. You've had a couple situations where you're like, nope, not worth it, not worth my time. And so it didn't end in like a big like blow up the house kind of thing. It was just more like you faded people out and said it's not worth my time or effort. And you know, but I remember when I first met you, you're like, no, I keep all my friendships. I invest in all of them, and it's like all of them. That's shocking. Like sometimes I just, you know, fade out from people. Because our life.
But I did when I met you, and then some weird things happened. Remember, like with certain people who were like went crazy over certain issues, and then in the past, in my 20s and 30s, I'd have been happy to write those people off, and then in my 40s, I'd have tried harder, and then I was like, no, forget it, done.
Right.
Like a crazy person, bye.
Yeah. And it doesn't need to be some big, huge episode or some big, you know, break up with someone, like a friendship. It just can be like, no.
Yeah, but there were people that I just stopped, like that, you know, remember that had blocked me and then like unblocked me to send me a message. And in the past, I would have engaged more and I just ignored that. Like, it's not worth my time. I'm not even responding.
It's not worth your peace also. Yeah. It's like we talked about earlier, that emotional well-being is really important. And the more we engage with people we don't really want to connect with that are hurtful or doing something that feels toxic to us, it's like, why am I engaging? Is it so I can like win this argument? Like, it's not worth it. It's like, I don't want to, I've had texts I just don't reply to. I mean, I don't block the people, but I just don't reply. I'm like, I'm not going to take this. So I'm going to keep my peace. You can have the last word, but I get the peace.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. But socially, I think overall, this is probably one of my strongest areas. I'm a connector by nature. I bring people together. I have people texting me, when are you going to plan another hike or another event so we can all hang out together? And I want to say, you can plan an event too. But apparently, you know, that's like something that I enjoy doing. People know I like it. And I'm constantly bringing people together.
But that you should only do if you want to be doing it.
Yep. And I do.
No pressure.
I mean, some people, you know, are, you know, like, oh, you should plan this. I'm like, no, I don't want to. If you want to plan it, you're welcome to. I've had people suggest things. I'm like, no. They're like, can you plan something next weekend? No, I don't want to. Like, yeah. I'll plan whatever I want to plan, and then you can plan whatever you would like to plan. Do you remember when there was that lady from Meetup? Remember when she would get mad
you
at me?
Like, there were times that you were
starting. Yeah. I would post hikes at 7 o'clock in the morning in the summer, and frankly, that's late. But yeah. I know Meetup people, they don't want to get up too early. And she, across the big circle of people, all of these women was like, you're the one who plans those hikes too early. And she had already put comments in my post, like, this is too early. And I'm like, listen, lady, we are all organizers on this Meetup. If you want to plan a hike that starts at 8 or 9 or whatever, put it on there. And don't come to mine. It was so interesting. But I'm like, no, I'm going to connect the people who want to connect doing the things that I like to do. I'm not going to cater to other people.
And if you don't want to go, lady, just don't say anything.
Exactly, right? Right.
Nobody's like, that's those people who are like, I'm getting off of Facebook. And then they're waiting for you to say something. Like, okay.
Okay.
Like, if you don't want to go, if you don't want to be here, then just do it.
Right, exactly.
You don't need to make a comment about everything. Like that, I do think that that's one thing in this culture that we have now is just a lot of commenting, unnecessary commenting.
Yeah.
You know, what was the golden rule? Well, there's the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything.
I agree with that. Yeah, it was interesting. I took a group out for a plane. Co-planned an event, a hiking event this last weekend. It was awesome. And through this one Facebook group, put it up online, showed all the pictures, told everybody it was great. It was a public event through that Facebook group. Everyone was invited and welcome. And someone put on there that they felt excluded, that they weren't invited. And what? So my co-organizer wrote on there and said, everyone was invited. It's a public event on the site, so it's up to you to RSVP. And then the response was, well, I didn't have a ride, and that's not inclusive. Someone should have given me a ride. And, and then it ended up going back and forth like 3 or 4 more times.
Wow.
And it was like she just kind of devolved into nothing. And it took over all the comments about this great hike that we all did to come together. And other people were like, this was so fun. I really enjoyed being a part of it. I couldn't come this time, but I want to come next time. And so we ended up having to kind of, you know, mute her comments because they were just so derogatory.
You have to, exactly.
They were so unnecessary. Yeah. I was like, why? You know, here we are trying to create this like social connection and this place of empowerment. And it's like, if you have an issue with it or you need a ride, you can ask offline. But it was very weird.
Yeah, but I see those things all the time. Like, let's say a person's advertising shoes or vegan cheese or whatever, and people are like, well, I don't like cranberries or I don't like pink shoes. Like, okay, does anyone need to know that? Or like,
no one.
I have an allergy to this. Okay, then it's not for you.
Then don't buy it. Then don't, right?
Allergy to it, you don't need to comment and you don't need to get it. And there's plenty of other things out there. That's what I don't get. It's like, how much time do these people have in their lives, like, to make these kind of comments?
Right, these critiques. I know. That's why it's, like, hard in, you know, in this kind of world in a digital world to try to create some social community online because anybody and everybody infiltrates, even people in some of these private groups or even friends. You're like, oh, my gosh. What is happening here? It's you know, when we talk about social wellness, we're looking at it in a variety of spaces, right? Like I'm talking about, hey, I've got friends or I bring people together to go on a hike, but we have these social spaces online too. And some of them are just plain toxic and they're just, or they're exhausting. It's like, yeah, again, who cares if you like cranberries? Don't respond. Don't get it.
Yeah. If someone is selling something with cranberries and then you can't eat them or don't like them, then just move along. Keep moving. It's not for you.
Exactly.
That's what I don't get. I just don't get it. So, I mean, you know, yeah, I think that's something as like, I just don't deal with anymore. I'm not going to deal with it. That would like ruin my peace of mind and wellness, you know?
Yep. I agree.
Engaging with idiocy.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I just try to move along. I'm like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
It's not just one. It's like you scroll through, there's 100 comments and 40 of them are just like that. And it's like, what on earth? It's like, you don't want to post anything, right?
Right.
Like,
exactly.
But anyways, well, social wellness, I think that one for me is a pretty strong one. I know for you is a pretty strong one. We both have different social outlets and ways we define it, but we both feel pretty satisfied in that. Well, we've made it through all 8 elements of the wellness wheel. And so in the show notes, like I said, I'll put the link to the quiz that we took in there so that our listeners can assess themselves. And then I'll put other links in there of all the fun things that we talked about today. So any final words of wisdom, Tracy, on wellness and you know, how.
Yeah, get yourself a in the kitchen composter and learn about frogging. It'll change your whole perspective on life.
All right, that is good. And if you don't like cranberries, don't respond to the post.
Yeah, leave it. Goodbye. Keep moving. Bye.
All right. Mine is more just like sometimes your inner peace is more important than anything. So remember that even though these are 8 different areas of the wellness wheel, some of them are going to be more important to you than others. For me, my emotional well-being and my physical well-being take precedent over some of these other things. And so I have to remember my priorities too. So I don't want to do one area of well-being to compromise another. So keeping that in mind is really important. But all right. Well, it has been fun talking about all of this stuff and quite intriguing through my own self-discovery of this conversation. So, but for our listeners out there, until our next episode, go out there and rock those relationships. If you liked what you heard, check out our show notes for resources from today's episode. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram under Rock That Relationship and go to our website at rockthatrelationship.com for updated episodes and more great information.
Thanks for listening. Now go rock those relationships.